Central, and we are ready for a great show here tonight. I do believe I've got Mr. CJ Sports in to do the quick rundown for the credits. Go ahead there, Mr. CJ Sports.
I believe that's me, Chris.
Oh, okay. So I thought CJ Sports was going to be there at the first part of the show to do the rundown, but once they got 95.
There he is. He's a little late. Hold on. I'll plug him in. He's a little late. Hold on. There you go, CJ.
I'm here. Mr. CJ Sports, okay. If you'll go ahead and open the show up for us with the announcements.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, Race Chat Live here. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com, and click on that pretty little banner. I got to also thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our show. Without these great marketing partners and networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and continue to grow the way we grow. So make sure you guys I want to make sure that I thank them. Make sure you guys give us a follow on Twitter at 110 Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. We hit the 1500 milestone. We're giving out a $25 gift card. The next milestone is 1750. So make sure you guys continue to spread the word and let everybody know to get over there and give us a like. And like I said, check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com.
All right, Mr. CJ Sports, thank you for that intro. And, of course, guys, you can follow our show every Thursday night right here on the 110 Nation Sports, the only nation of sports, the 110 Nation Sports. Also syndicated on the Race Chat Live through the live feed. We'll get that live feed shared around for you guys in just a moment here. I do want to bring on our co-host and my partner in crime, Mr. Craig Moore. How you doing, sir? Go ahead.
You know what, buddy? I'm above ground. It's a great day.
Every day above ground is a great day, is it not?
Yes, sir. So, I'm super excited about tonight, but I'm really looking forward to watching them clean the snow off the track down in Martinsville this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting to see how they play this one out. Snow and race cars don't connect too well, so Martinsville's going to have their hands full. But Mother Nature just won't let us go. I mean, it's milder down here than what it's supposed to be, so I hear y'all are still getting...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. No, not y'all. We didn't get any snow out of this nor'easter. Now, my sister, on the other hand, who lives in Hanover, Pennsylvania, which isn't too far from Gettysburg, and if anybody remembers their history, they'll know what Gettysburg is famous for. They got 24 inches of snow, so they can keep it.
Gettysburg,
they can have it all.
The hamburger capital of the world, right?
No. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The turning point of the Civil War.
Oh, Gettysburg itself. Okay.
Duh! Man, we got to send. They probably didn't teach that part down there in Mississippi.
No, sir. That's talking about the Yankees and, you know, you know how that one goes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We could have a war of the North and South on here each and every week if we really wanted to.
Oh, definitely. It's amazing that you're a country boy up in the upstate New York. And, you know, of course, if you wasn't a country boy, I don't know if we would get along too well, but. You obviously are not too different than us, and I appreciate your opinions. And when we disagree, I think I have more fun when we do disagree.
We're like an old married couple.
Awesome. Well, we got a couple of guests scheduled for the night, and race fans, we want to just welcome you aboard. Make sure that you got your seatbelts on. Make sure you got your dirt goggles on, because this about the fastest couple hours on the internet, isn't it?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, it seems like a half hour segment goes quick, and then you look at the clock and it's like 9:30 and we're going into segment 4 or 5, and I'm like, hey, where did that time go?
Well, I tell you what, I had a segment earlier down at Dante's Barbecue and Seafood, and let me tell you
something. Yeah, I heard you ate steamed crabs.
My mouth is still salivating. I don't know if it was the Corona or the steamed crab, but I definitely enjoyed myself, so I probably won't be talking as much tonight. I'll actually kind of
there is no way. There is actually no way in heck you're not going to talk a whole lot.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, maybe I should let you talk tonight because I'm so full from my steamed crab meat. So
yeah, I can't believe that. Hey, honey, he said he's not going to talk a whole lot tonight.
Yeah, and you're wasting your time talking to honey instead.
She said she don't believe it either.
She doesn't believe it either.
Is Cliff on? Do we have him on yet?
No, yes, he's in the studio.
Is he in the studio?
Sounds good.
Yes, he's in the studio. Do you want me to put him in right now?
Yes, please.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah, somehow we've already gotten ourselves a minute off schedule here, but we'll get things rocking and rolling. Just got the ratio shared around to some of the groups, and we'll try to share it to the page. But I tell you what, the 110 Nation is going out of their way. Do you know that this whole show will be simulcast again tomorrow afternoon on the 110 Nation Sports page? Mr. CJ Sports has got a good little thing going on here where we are playing the shows once again on Facebook Live. So if you didn't catch this Facebook Live, become a regular on the 110 Nation page, and you'll catch all the shows for a re-air the very next day. So,
and that is wicked
bring
cool.
On the guest. Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead.
That is wicked cool. I think it's cool. Cliff, are you there, buddy?
I'm here, my man.
All right. On the air with us on Race Chat Live is a good friend of mine, Cliff. Say your last name, because I never say it right.
Haslin.
Haslin. I always say Haslin. So,
close enough.
Listen, as long as they get it right on payday at the track, we're all good. So, tell us a little bit, sitting back in the shadows, I don't know if you heard that southern voice over there. That is the brains of the operation. I'm the brawn. Chris Creighton is with us as well. Tell us a little bit on how you got started, how many decades ago. I mean, you and I are the same age, so when I say decades, I'm about right. Tell us a little bit about how you got started, and then we'll jump in with any questions we have.
Okay, hold on. He just got back in the studio. I just got cut off. Cliff, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, bub.
Okay.
All right, Cliff, I don't know if you heard me, but if you could, can you tell us how you got started decades ago? And when I say decades, you and I are about the same age, so that's pretty that's a pretty apropos point. Tell us how you got started. What made you get started into racing? And when we have any questions, and I'm sure that we will jump in and ask them to you.
Absolutely. Since the time I was old enough to take things apart, I had an interest in anything mechanical, you know, and I saw in the wide world of sports, Islip Speedway, they used to show the demolition derbies and the figure eight racing, and I was hooked, and I teased my mom, and finally she took me to Fonda Speedway, and that was the end of that. I had to be there every week. I had instantly was attracted to the dirt racing, and a couple of the local modified stars were my absolute heroes, you know, and that's what got me hooked, and I had to get started. And I was about 19 when I started, but it was just one of those things I had to do, you know.
What was your first race car that you ever raced? This is Chris, Chris Creighton from Race Chat Live.
Nice to meet you. My first race car was an old Camaro street stock that helping a buddy of mine out, and he had a driver, and they didn't quite see eye to eye, and they parted company, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, what are you doing next week? You want to drive?" And I said, "Sure." And that's how it all started, really.
Went from crew chief to driver.
Yeah, pretty much. I was just kind of a golfer guy at that point. You know, the guy that owned the car was kind of calling the shots, and the guy driving the car owned his own motor, and he looked at me and goes, "You still got the motor from your street car?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Good, bring it next week because you're driving." I'm like, "Okay." And that's how it all kind of went down.
Who were some of your – that's funny. Who were some of your racing idols growing up? You said you went there every week to see them. Who were some of the – who were some of the guys that you really looked up to each and every week?
Well, obviously, Lou Lazzaro was one of my biggest all-time heroes. The guy could make junk go to the front, you know, and it just always amazed me how smooth and steady he was. And to watch him come through traffic was just amazing every week. And Jack Johnson, just the pure determination to win, you know. And then C.D. Colville, who've actually become kind of pretty good friends with over the years. And his stories are just amazing, you know, and some of the races I didn't see. There was a bunch, racing Ray Dalmata. I used to love to watch him race. And Maynard Ferret, some of the local notable guys. Jack Miller was a good family friend. He's still racing at Utica Rome. I used to love to watch him go. You know, I mean, there's just so many.
Well, and so, you know, you had some that you looked up to. Did you ever get to race or maybe beat one of the guys that you looked up to?
I did make a few races in the sportsman division, but unfortunately, like, finances didn't allow me to continue on. So I never really got to race with any of those guys. But when I started racing, some of the street stock heroes at the time, which is kind of what the pro stock class is now, I got to race with, like, Danny Ballard and Timmy French and Ricky Oxted, Eric Arell, those guys. And when I started racing, those guys were racing. And, you know, that was an honor to race with those guys. They were a field of their own, you know.
Right. Who kind of took you under their wing to show you the in and out, and then I'll pass it to Craig?
Well, unfortunately, I kind of figured it out on my own. I've kind of been an army of one. I mean, I do have some people to help me out, but I've been kind of an army of one for many years, so it's been a learning process over the years. But a bunch of years ago, we put a car together back in the mid-90s that was my last shot at it before I took about 10 years off when my kids were small. But Kenny Hollenbeck, he races four-cylinders now, but he and I kind of learned together, and we made a pretty fast car. We raced Malta one year, and we had a pretty fast car. So, I mean, it's been a many-year learning process, I guess.
Well, I guess before I pass the question off to Craig, who was the favorite guy that you did get to race against? Who was that one guy that you looked forward to racing every week when you showed up to the track?
Back in the day, it's I guess hard to say, but like Danny Ballard and those guys were so good to race with, and Timmy French, he's down toward the Afton Speedway area where he lives, he's like, "You really need tires. Come on down to my shop and get some tires." I mean, guys like that, they were great, you know. And I picked up little tidbits from a lot of the guys just here and there. And a guy that I used to help, Eddie Alexander, he no longer races, but he's the original Iceman. They used to call him at Fonda. He and I learned a lot together, and, you know, he gave me a lot of tips. And Ed Doc Skolic, they used to call him Doc there, he helps me in a car now, but I raced with him, and he's got many, many years of knowledge, too. So I picked a lot up from him, too.
Cliff, you said about influences. Now, I know you're an army of one, but we all know that you can't do this. You can't do this alone. I know that, and we're going to talk about your son, Dan, and your daughter in a little bit. It's Michaela, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, good. I got that one right.
Yes, you did.
And only because we don't see her very often at the track. But you race at two tracks mainly, Fonda, and where is the other one you race? Glenridge, right?
I race Glenridge. Yeah, I used to race there full-time, but I go there when finances allow. Fonda's the – it's just, you know, it's my place. So, I mean, I love Glenridge. Don't get me wrong. I race there many years, and I will continue to race there. But with my finances the way they are, I have to concentrate on one, and that's going to be Fonda this year.
Why are you concentrating on Fonda more than Glenridge besides the – besides the length of the tracks themselves? Fonda it reminds me of a Martinsville style speedway, and relating it to NASCAR a little bit, it reminds me of Martinsville, whereas Glenridge kind of reminds me of Bristol. But why is one track easier for you or more economically feasible than the other?
I can't afford to do two nights every week, but it's the history of Fonda, and running Fonda was just, I mean, you think of some of the guys that have raced there, like Richard Petty and CD, of course, and Louie and Jack, and all the guys that have raced there over the years. You know, another one of my heroes was Randy Glenski. Just, you know, all those guys that race there, it's an amazing place to actually get a win there, you know what I mean? And I love Glenridge. I love the short track action and being up on the wheel the whole time. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy Glenridge. But, I don't know, for me, I help out a couple guys at Fonda Speedway, and our class runs first, and then I have the rest of the night to help out. And it just seems to work out pretty good, you know, and I really enjoy the sheer speed. There's nothing like going into turn three wide open. You know, the hair on your arms even still just stands right up every time you go into turn three wide open. It's just exhilarating.
So you've been racing for quite a long time, Cliff, but I kind of get this tone that you've raced a lot of street stops. You've been a stock car racer, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I race street stocks primarily over all these years. I had a couple of whims there, you know. I raced sportsmen for a couple of years. Actually love driving them. There's really nothing like the feeling of it. But unfortunately, for my finances, it's not feasible for me to field a competitive car, you know. Where the street stocks, I build pretty much everything myself. Even this year, the body I built myself by hand. I can afford to do that because I make all my own stuff pretty much, you know. So being limited finances and limited in numbers, as far as, you know, crew goes, that's kind of what I fall into because – And I really enjoy, if anybody knows me, knows how much I enjoy fabricating and building and stuff. So it's one of the things I love to do. So
you're kind of your own engineer, you stayed your own crew chief. You said that you pretty much have learned this on your own. I mean, I'm getting that, you know, you've been so passionate about the sport that once you got in it, you found yourself making sure you were going to stay in it. And by that I mean, you know, you've created your own parts, you've probably torn down your own cars, you built everything from top to bottom. Let me ask you, are y'all on a crate motor or are you able to run open motors?
In my class we can run both. We can run crates or opens. I myself run a crate motor. I picked up a used crate motor quite a few years ago from a stock guy that was getting out at the time. He's back now, Ruben Kennedy. I bought his used crate motor when he was getting out, and knock on wood, it's been pretty reliable and pretty easy to maintain. So it's been good.
Go ahead, Chris,
because I'll follow your question.
Well, I wanted to know what type of chassis he was, but how fresh his chassis was, because we've talked to Tyler Sistrunk, and, you know, he had 9 years on his chassis, and
and really quite a few years before he really got it dialed in and started knocking off some wins. I was just curious on how old your chassis was.
My car was actually built in 1999. I bought it used from a guy, and it's been back in the old Western days, they used to call the loose women in the saloon Jezebels, and my car says Jezzy on it. That's the name I've given her because it's kind of short for Jezebel. She's been passed around quite a few times, but I've owned it myself for about almost 10 years.
Wow.
And that's funny because I was going to ask you about how you named your car, but I've also watched you drive it. And so I kind of put two and two together with the name. Tell us about your 2017 season, because you had some heck of accomplishments this year.
It was an up and down season. You know, the first 3 weeks we ended up getting wrecked out 3 weeks in a row, and I was toying with the idea. I'm like, geez, man, you know, maybe I ought to rethink things here or something. I said to a good friend of mine and sponsor of mine, Jeff Carabin, he sat down with me one night and he said, listen, you love that car, you love fun, and just fix it and come back and you'll be all right. And I ended up putting half an old body on it because I was tore right up, and put half an old body on it from a few previous years ago, and we went out and we won that following week. And that took away all the damage and all the late nights and everything right there. It was awe-inspiring. So after going through what we went through the first 3 weeks, it was great. And the following week, I think we had a top five, and then I think it was the next week after that, we backed it up and won again. So, I mean, it was a great year. And then we found ourselves in a points battle for the championship. We fell short at the end. And congratulations to Johnny Young for winning it. He's a tough competitor and good guy to race with. And, you know, we just fell short. But second points, you know what? That's like a dream come true. I'll take that any day of the year.
Well, you know, you say second in points, but you were disappointed. But going into week four, you were ready to hang it up. So,
I was.
You know, and then you were able to come back and win. So really a second place is like winning a championship for you based on what you're saying. And I know you personally, so I know that you're spending late nights in the garage. I'll see it on Facebook when I wake up in the morning. Was in the garage until 1 o'clock, putting Jezzy back together. So anything that you accomplished, after week three was a definite win. Even if it was a top six, if you finished sixth, that was almost as good as a win, because looking back, you're like, I was going to quit. I was going to hang it up. And, you know, anybody that knows you.
It's so awesome that you're recognizing that, because what I wanted to feed off of that question was, why is it, Craig, and why is it, Cliff, that when we're to the point of breaking, that's we're trying to quit just before we win? And that happens so many times, but it's the drive. And how many times do you find yourself in that situation? I guess I want to be all psychological about it, but it's really an interesting question that I don't think anybody can really answer.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. I guess I had reached my breaking point, getting towed off the track 3 weeks in a row, and the car was just demolished each time, you know. And I'm like, you know, maybe I just don't belong doing this anymore, you know, whatever. And it took some talking to from, well, my buddy Ivan and Dennis Joslin and Doc and Jeff Carabin that really got to me. You know, like, you know, you love this more than anything, you know, or than most people do that do race, you know. So you need to just shake it off, put it together, and get it back together again. And they were right, you know. I guess I needed those couple days to shake it off and I take a lot of things to heart, which I shouldn't, but I always have. And, you know, it took me a couple of days, but then I guess I got focused and determined and said, you know what, we're going to make this happen one way or another. So.
Well, that's just it. I think in anything that we do, and Chris touched on this with being philosophical, but I think, and he's right, what you had said, you got to the breaking point, and it's you throw up your hands, and you're like, you know what, I'm done. And then fate intervened, and I know Jeff, and I know Ivan and Dennis, and great bunch of guys, and they're like, come on, no, let's put this thing back together. You love what you do, and I know you love what you do because I see it, like I said, I see it all the time. So in 2017, you had two wins.
Two wins, yep.
Two wins. I'm foreshadowing 2018. two wins. Yeah. And you finished second in points. Going into 2018, I know a couple weeks ago you weren't sure you were going to get the car ready for the car show at Viaport this past weekend, but you did get it there. What are your goals going into 2018 for you?
I guess, you know, CD always says that, you know, just focus on winning and the points will fall as they go. So, you know, of course, I'd love nothing more than to be the champion at Fonda Speedway. I mean, that would be a dream come true. But if I could pull off a couple wins and have a real good time doing it, you know, or just be competitive every week, then I'm happy. You know, it's the sheer love of doing it, I guess.
It is the
you gotta love. You gotta love what you do, and I know that's what Chris was getting ready to say too. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly, man. I mean, it's something you can't shake off. It's once you get that feeling, you're standing there against that fence and you get some mud thrown in your face, but you feel that rumble inside your chest, man. And whether you're not, you're 8 years old or you're 83, I feel like every place that you go to and you feel that power in your chest. It's just something to it, man, and it keeps us coming back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like it. And like you said, once it's in you, there's no getting rid of it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, all right. We got a couple of minutes left. We're waiting to know if Justin is going to – or Josh is going to join us too. But tell us about your sponsors. Tell us about the sponsors you have and you know –
I got some pretty good guys that help me out there. I got Hubie's Pizza and Restaurant in Middleburg. He's been a phenomenal long-time sponsor to me. A&M Towing in Middleburg, they've been great. Part of Crewell Farms and Amy's Ice Cream. They got a bunch of businesses in one shop, but they've been really great to me. And Jeff Carab and JK Graphics and JB Photography, he and his girlfriend Brittany Nelson, they've been not only great supporters, but great friends. And got a new guy on board this year, Adam Tabor. He's a longtime friend of mine and actually was around when I first got the shot to drive. You know, it was his uncle that owned the car. So he's got a business finishing touches, Adam Tabor Construction. And he came on board and helped us out this year. And that's highly appreciated. And then a couple of the racers, you know, Joey Wilson, the kid, he's a great guy. I was short a few pieces of tin on putting the body together, and he called me and said, listen, I got some tin left over from a job here. Come get it. It's yours. And that's what made the doors and front fenders when I built those. And Jason Samrov, another competitor, actually, I painted his car and his brother's car for him for the car show. And he's like, you know, you helped us out. We want to help you out. And he gave me a couple wheels. So, I mean, it's guys like that that, you know, just keep me going. And I really appreciate the support that they do give. Keller's Entertainment, they've helped me out. Been good people. Just, you know, I'm fortunate to have that kind of help.
All right, let me ask you, where did the number come from? I'm interested in...
Well... me and my stories.
Story?
I went through a divorce and then things were kind of going tough for me. And I said, you know, I ought to name my or number my car 13 because my luck can't get any worse, you know. So that's kind of where that all came from, and it's just kind of stuck since.
It's not a bad number for you, is it?
No, I was actually thinking about painting a car green, too, just to be, you know, to top it. But I haven't gone that far yet.
Yeah, have you thrown peanuts up underneath it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, I've got a question. So if you could be racing anything right now other than the street stock, what would be your dream? What is your favorite racing dream car? What would you want to race more than anything?
You know, it's just like you got my buddy Josh coming on in a few minutes. He's a good guy. I would love to run dirt modified someday, you know, just to say I did. I run the sportsman cars and got kind of a taste for it. So that would be an ultimate for me. I grew up getting attached to those cars, and it would be definitely a dream come true.
That's cool, man.
All right, well, we got the shakedown coming up in about 2 weeks over at Glen Ridge. Are you going to be participating in that shakedown?
You know, I may. I've been toying with the idea of bringing it up there and dusting the cobwebs off a little bit.
I'll dust the cobwebs off for you. Wait. You won't have much of a car left, but we'll dust the cobwebs off.
Somebody sure will have to live feed that. I mean, seriously, if he is anywhere near a race car, live feed it. We've got to have that.
Oh, I absolutely will.
I want to hear him scream like Daryl Walter did.
Oh!
Be like Daryl Waltrip in the passenger side of that late model with Tony Stewart that time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be doing the icky shuffle.
Yeah.
I did that championship points night anyway. I couldn't stay up standing straight up on that track.
So once again, now, Cliff, it's Cliff Haslund, right? Haslund, right?
Yes, you got it, yep.
Awesome, man. Well, it's been great having you on, and we look forward to what I always tell everybody that comes on the show is we bring you on the first time, we get to know you, and then we love bringing you back. And the more that we can gel, the more that we can bring up topics and stuff, the more frequent the interviews we like to have. So it's been really fun.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man, and we're going to have to extend this conversation again later on in the season.
Yeah, definitely, and just a quick shout out before I go to my kids. I couldn't do this without them. They are definitely my inspiration and my backbone, and they definitely keep me going. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, real quick, Dan, Cliff's son Dan was racing as well, and then he went up into the booth and was calling some races last year at Glen Ridge, and if I'm not mistaken, he has done some at Fonda too, correct?
Yes, he does the Victory Lane at Fonda, and he does Victory Lane at Glen Ridge and calls like the four-cylinder race and some of the street stock stuff. And he plans on continuing that again this year. And he still races. We're gonna do some traveling with him on Friday nights wherever he feels like going. He just wants to go have fun, you know. So he's gonna concentrate on announcing, and on Friday nights we're just gonna go have fun with him.
That's awesome. And you know, they say the family that races together stays together, and I know that your kids are top priority to you, and that is just awesome. And you know, we're gonna have to get Dan on here midway through the season. Just because,
he's entertaining for sure.
Yeah, him and his rock and roller look is just fabulous.
Yeah. He looks like Scott when they towed him off the track. He looked like Scott Blomquist with his mullet flying in the breeze, you know.
Oh man!
But
wow.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you very much, Cliff, for joining us. It is, as Chris said, we have you on the first time. Well, I kind of know about you, but we have you on the first time so Chris can get to know you, and then we'll bring you back later in the season. And
thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You're very welcome.
Yeah,
and I know that.
Hey, Greg, Cliff. As an announcer to the other announcer, I believe you said his name is Dan.
We would love to have him on the next time too. The father son combo is a great mix, and so we're looking forward to. We'll go ahead and book you both right now if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Cliff, thanks a lot, buddy. And
thank you, buddy.
Continue to listen and share the like or share the page, and we'll get you back on probably in June or July.
We definitely will do that, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Have a good day, guys.
You too.
Bye.
So the next guest, wow, what a great guest there. Haslin, from upstate New York, street stock driver, said that he would love to drive in one of those sports modifieds. And I tell you what, man, those modifieds, they put on a great show. We had the USMTS modifieds at Wynot Motorsports Park here a couple of weeks back, and oh my gosh, they put on such a great show. They had 2B mains, about six or seven, I think maybe eight, six heats, something like that. Oh man, it was just great to see all those modifieds come all the way from everywhere, from Minnesota to Idaho to, from all over the place. And they put on a great show down there at Wynot Motorsports Park. They were at Jackson too. Unfortunately, the Magnolia race that they were supposed to have was rained out due to bad weather that we had coming through. But guys, if y'all are anywhere around this weekend to the House of Hook out at Wynot Motorsports Park in Wynot, Mississippi, make sure that you stop at the House of Hook. We're going to have the super late model 800 horsepower ground pounding super late models. It's the Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series. They will be racing at the House of Hook, Wynot Motorsports Park here in Meridian, Mississippi. As old Rodney Wing will tell you, be there. Craig, do we have our next guest?
I don't know. I'm waiting for clarification from the booth, as we say. But
Not yet, guys.
All right. Okay. Then we'll just continue on, and he's a truck driver. So he may not be back in range yet. But coming up next week, I'm just going to preview next week real quick. We've got a father-son duo coming up next week on Race Chat Live, Derek McGrew and Derek McGrew Jr. And they're going to be with us the entire hour until Derek Sr. tells Derek Jr. to go to bed. Derek Jr. He's a heck of a young man. I believe he's in 7th or 8th grade, maybe. And he started off racing slingshots, go-karts, and then he moved up to slingshots. And now he's into limited sportsmen. So, and he's a fine young man. It should be a really good interview. So let's talk about Martinsville this week real quick. I just want to touch base on it. They say there's going to be some snow in Martinsville, and we alluded to it at the top of the hour, that they may be getting out the plow trucks to clean off the track and then bring the jet dryers out if it's not a wet, heavy snow. I'm hoping is the race.
Snow is bad, Craig. Snow is bad, but snow crab is good.
Oh, I like crab meat.
Yeah, I do too.
But let me get back on topic. Get back on the mute his microphone.
Yeah.
He's tired. He ate a lot of crabs.
Mute me.
So getting back to Martinsville this weekend, they're saying that we're going to have some snow down in Martinsville. I'm hoping, and this is just me, and I'm not a big Jimmy Johnson fan, but I'm hoping that this is where he turns it around. He's noted for running well at Martinsville. We did a poll earlier this week. Can Jimmy Johnson snap his losing streak? You never thought you'd hear losing streak and Jimmy Johnson in the same sentence, but folks, you have heard it. Jimmy Johnson and losing streaks are going synonymous in the last 29 to 30 weeks in the Monster Energy Cup Series. I'm definitely not liking that. but it is what it is.
I think the recent struggles at Hendrick has not only affected Jimmy's season last year, but they've started off not so well again this year. And it's crazy that we're going to talk about Martinsville. And I know that all y'all are reassured that Jimmy Johnson's going to win. And I completely understand. But, guys, I feel like I'm not going to be wrong. And so, I mean, in a way, I think Jimmy Johnson has more issues than just Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, seriously, I should not go into this race at all betting on Jimmy Johnson. I'm sorry.
Well, I wouldn't bet the house on it. I'm saying I'd like to see him win it. I'd like to see him rebound and win there and snap his losing streak. But I don't necessarily know if it's going to happen.
Right. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that three of our crew members have picked Jimmy Johnson to win this weekend. And it's almost, you know, it's like, are people going to realize that he may be in the decline of his career? And I know that sounds
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And if a win comes out of Hendrick this weekend at Martinsville, I would have to say Chase Elliott's been running better than Jimmy Johnson. Chase Elliott has a better chance of winning this week. But he's not my pick.
Well, you know, the sentimental favorite is Jimmy Johnson, at least for me. Because he's run so strong there the last 15, 16 years. Look at when the crew members, look at when Ricky Hendrick Jr. died there going to Martinsville. He came back, and what did he do? He won. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but something needs to happen to turn Jimmy Johnson's season around. I will say that if the win comes, if there is a Hendrick car that can win this weekend, and I know our correspondent, our good buddy Jason, likes to say, well, I'm going to wait until they run practice. They may not even get practice in. They might get practice in, but they're probably not going to get qualifying in. If a Hendrick car wins, I guarantee you they are going to take that car back to the R&D center, and they are going to rip that apart. Every nut, bolt, panel, everything is going to come off that car because they are going to look to see if there's anything wrong with it.
So,
correct me if I'm wrong.
A vendetta towards Hendrick? I don't think so. I think that they've already put their penalties and warned Hendrick that they're not doing anything wrong. This is Hendrick's track, and I mean, not picking Brad Keselowski, but somebody felt horrible. I can't take it no more. Go ahead.
So, I don't necessarily think there's a vendetta, but what I'm saying is, last week, Chase was pointing a finger. 2 weeks ago, Chase was pointing a finger. They took his car back to R&D, which I personally don't think should have been done. He already went through post-race inspection. They didn't find anything. They took it back to the R&D center. They ripped it apart. And they found out his rear end was out of skew. And they penalized the team. Do I think they'll do it again? Maybe not to Chase, but if another Hendrick car wins, they might very well, just to see if maybe they're playing with the rules. I'm not saying there's a vendetta against Hendrick. I'm just saying that it's possible.
Right. Well, and you know, they wanted to make changes. I think that this one's going to be a little bit different on policy on how they're going to tech the cars. I don't have that information right here in front of me yet, but thank goodness wherever that noise was coming from, I am so very sorry. It was literally making my mind jump around. I couldn't hardly concentrate because it was raffling so loud. It was like somebody eating, putting a voice thing in, and while they're eating potato chips or something. It was pretty bad. So, yeah, we need some reassurance from Mr. Sports. appreciate that. Yeah, so the trucks are racing this weekend too, Craig. Let's not forget about that one.
The what?
The Camping World Truck Series.
Yeah, let's not forget about that. Now, they're down in Martinsville as well. We did our picks earlier this week. I wasn't paying much attention, and I picked my three. Well, I found out there's only two. And I will just put this out on the line so that everybody knows that in each and every truck race there is, from now until he moves up to Xfinity Series, especially at El Doro, I'm going to pick Stuart Friesen to win. I think he's knocking on the door of his first victory. He came close, of course, at El Doro last June, but that was a dirt track. You expect him, well, he got a lot of TV time. They couldn't pronounce his name, but he got a lot of TV exposure. Because he's a dirt track specialist. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do this weekend at the Paperclip now that, and each and every race that he goes to, now that he's got a year's experience behind him. He knows what he's got to do to win. So I want to tell you, I think Stewie is as we call him around here, Stewie is my pick to win at Martinsville this weekend. But the Paperclip is a whole nother animal in and of its own, and it presents, as I heard somebody say in an interview this week, that it's like running down a dirt road with 3,500 pounds, stepping on the brakes and turning left, and hoping to God that the car turns. So I want to know what you guys think about it, and who might your pick be this weekend at Martinsville in the Truck Series?
Yeah, definitely. In the Truck Series, I have to go with God Bless America, Johnny Sauter. You know, experience is the first reason why I go with Johnny Sauter. The second reason why I go with Johnny Sauter is because his name is God Bless America, Johnny Sauter. And the third reason is because, well, experience. And I have a feeling that some of these young guys, and we're talking about a list of young guys that are going to be in this race, guys, names that I'm just not even sure that we've even heard of yet. Corey Rupert, Austin Hill. Of course, there's Dawson Cram. Harrison Burton's going to be in a car this weekend. Jeff Zillwiger. Bailey Curry. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be in this truck race that are gaining experience, and we're talking about the Paperclip. It's going to be a lot of bumping and rubbing. So cooler heads are going to be what prevails, and we know that Johnny Sauter can get upset in certain situations. But God bless America, Johnny Sauter seems to be the favorite going in this weekend at Martinsville.
God bless America and Johnny Sauter.
Yes, definitely. Now, I do have Mr. CJ Sports pick, and as well as Ms. Lee and Shannon's, and I'd like to share them at this time.
Please, go ahead and share them.
Yeah, he picked Noah Grasden for the Camping World Truck Series, and then Jimmy Johnson for the Cup Series win. Ms. Lee, she picked God Bless America, Johnny Sauter, and Denny Hamlin for the win in the Cup Series. So Denny Hamlin's on the board again this weekend. Shannon Boland, correspondent at the 110 Nation Sports, he got Gregson as the winner and Jimmy Johnson on the Cup side. Guys, I don't know if y'all copied each other or what, but y'all got to quit that. And, of course, Stats, Mike Pericone, he's got Graston, and he's
getting Kyle Busch this weekend for the win. And so, yeah, a Busch, a few JJs, a Brad K, and a Denny Hamlin. It looks like we're really close to picking maybe who the winner is. Of course, Las Vegas has got Kyle Busch, I believe, as the favorite this weekend to win with a 15-4 favorite. So you'll have to really break down the odds and see how that one pays out. I think that would be about a 8 to 3.5 or something like that bet. But Brad Keselowski is a 9-2, and Denny Hamlin is a 11-2 bet. And Chase Elliott, another favorite, is a 7-1, and Joey Logano, 7-1 as well. So that's how Vegas is looking at it. Of course, Vegas has got Kevin Harvick favored a 3-1 odd now for the championship, the Monster Energy Cup Series championship. I did want to go back real quick to the 36 trucks are entered for the truck race. It looks like maybe this new crate motor that they have in the truck series may be helping out building the fields of cars back, because I believe they only start 30 or 32 of those, right?
Yeah, they're going to start, I believe, 32. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, four guys get to go home, and we haven't seen a overcrowded field in any division in a minute. So four guys are taking the chance to go home early at Martinsville. But also Martinsville is not very far from Charlotte. So, it's going to be qualifying is going to mean something this week, fellas.
I think they should let them race. The heck with it.
Let them on in, huh?
Let them in. Let them race. Let them get experience. Hey, they're there.
Right.
Their fans are there.
You just throw the rule book out for the hell of it. And just say,
yeah,
hey,
what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell? We got to keep it fair. You know, we don't want anybody to get butt hurt. Everybody's got to get a participation trophy. Isn't that what we teach our kids today?
It's not political. It's not political pretty quick. Stop. Get me out of this.
I just figured I'd throw that in there. But, no, I mean, it is. There's four trucks going to go home. And you better be the best of the 32. You're going to be packing up in your holler and heading south for about 5 hours. It's not that, as you alluded to earlier, it's not that far from Charlotte, so it's not that it's not that long of a drive. And if that happens, well, then I guess you better up your game and up your ante for the following time you show up at the racetrack.
Yeah,
it's cold hard.
Like I said, it's been a while since we've had to see some guys go home, and but it's also nice to see a full field of trucks in the Camping World Truck Series. Beth, you got anything?
I think with Noah Gregson, my pick was just because we've had him on the show. And CJ and I both tend to, pull for guys we've had on the show and for different reasons. And
so let the truth know, we're just pulling for a bunch of favorites. That's how we're doing now.
Well, to be honest, on the Cup side, I didn't see Jimmy Johnson be, that consistent. Okay, maybe in the past he's won Martinsville. They made a point this week. I read a couple of things on fantasy, fantasy experts, so-called, that said, this is Jimmy's track and everything. But, yeah, that was back in the, that was back in the years that he won the championship. But he hasn't shown me anything in terms of consistency. If anything, he showed me less consistency than in years past. I mean, CJ and I made the point last year on his show that most of the time, you look up and Jimmy would have like four wins by, not by now, but like mid-season. and he only came on during the playoffs. But even, you know, last year was surprising. I think he had like 4 wins by the time of the playoffs, and, you know, and it just didn't seem that way. You know, the commentators weren't talking about him. There wasn't a lot of talk about Jimmy Johnson, but he was getting the job done quietly. And now he's not even doing that. And I just don't, you know, obviously he could prove us all wrong, but I just don't see that happening. He's just not consistent enough this year so far. Maybe he'll turn the corner, but nothing he's done so far indicates to me that he's going to be a factor at Martinsville.
The unraveling of Jimmy Johnson. I mean, it's almost like a storybook that hasn't been written yet. You know, I would tell you that when it comes to race car driver, the one that Jimmy Johnson reminds me of the most is Tim Richmond. But you're talking about a complete opposite, very low-key Jimmy Johnson versus a very a joyful, very exuberant Tim Richmond. So,
oh, yeah, they were definitely
the
opposite of
them. Sir?
They were definitely – you don't have to call me sir. I work for a living. If you're talking different ends of the spectrum, dude, you are polar opposites. Whereas, like you said, Tim was quiet and reserved was exuberant all the time, while Jimmy is the complete opposite of that, where he's all reserved. Go ahead, I'll let you finish your point. I'm sorry for interrupting you, young man.
Yeah, no. What it is that what I'm saying is their driving techniques are very, very close. I've seen Jimmy Johnson do things with race cars that I haven't seen since Tim Richmond. So their driving techniques are completely in sync with each other. But you're right. It's Mars versus Venus on the perception of who Jimmy Johnson is. Tim Richmond would have won a lot of more races. He would have won championships. Unfortunately, he let his personal life get in the way of that. And it doesn't take away the fact that Richmond could wheel a race car better than any. And, you know, once again, you bring Richmond back and you don't have anything happen to Davey and Alan Kowicki. You know, Dale Sr., he took advantage of those certain situations there with those guys gone, because it's just hard to think that Tim Richmond wouldn't have won 2 or 3 championships himself.
It's interesting, guys. I was just thinking about this too. Last week, I was talking to somebody in a race group that I'm in, a racing group, and I mentioned that the only change seemed to be one person on his team. And they made the point, yeah, but that change wasn't minor. The change they made was car chief, not crew chief, but car chief. And I didn't get a chance to research this because I was working all week on stuff for the 110, but I wonder, just if you took away a person's car chief in terms of what they do, and you have a new guy learning the position or what a car chief does, how much would that affect the team in general? Because that's what this person was trying to make the point, that car chief isn't minor. You know, it's not a minor change. You know,
right.
It's
right.
Kind of,
well,
kind
the car
of
chief is the one that really sets everything into motion. The crew chief is the one who makes kind of the boss of the what would you would call the foreman of the group. He's also the communicator to the driver. Well, the car chief is the one who sets the setups in the car, and that's a very important person, because the communication has to be just as clear from the crew chief to the car chief as it is from the driver to the crew chief. So the crew chief kind of talks to both of these guys, and that's how, you know, setups and race gear work every weekend. But it's definitely a big change there, especially when you have a new guy in that position who's going to try the things that he believes are, you know, not necessarily by the book. Of course, every time you have a position change, you have somebody that brings in something different. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I think that all around it's an organizational problem, and I won't be surprised the moment Hendrick busts out, because this is probably the longest drought that I've ever seen them in, and you just know that there's some crafty minds over at the Chevrolet place, and I know that that they won't be running in the back for very long.
I know.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I know, but it's just they haven't shown anything, you know, where Jimmy's concerned. I know, you know, people have said, and I remember him winning at Martinsville repeatedly also, and when he was doing good, they were saying, oh, this is Jimmy's track, and when Jimmy wasn't winning, Jeff Gordon was winning. Jeff Gordon got his win. I saw something today on NASCAR.com that Jeff Gordon, at the end of this, was his last cup win came at Martinsville. But I guess you'd say the organization, we're talking about Jimmy Johnson right now, but I guess the organization hasn't done a lot this year to inspire, you know, winning talk, I guess. I guess they're in a slump, you know, if you can call it that. And how many races have we gone through? Four or six? I think this week is the sixth race of 36. I think I saw that. So we've gone through five races, and that's not a lot when it comes to a 36 race season. So maybe they turn it around. I don't know. It's not like we're in the 20s, and you know they haven't won yet. But it just hasn't inspired. It doesn't seem like a Hendrick level performance.
I don't know if you know Chase Elliott is going to have something different than Jimmy Johnson. Chase Elliott is definitely the franchise at Hendrick Motorsports. So, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised the moment that Hendrick busts out and comes out of the slump. I'm just not sure if Jimmy Johnson's the guy. I know Chad Canales is driving himself crazy trying to get Jimmy back in victory lane. So, like I said, great minds will work together, and we probably won't be talking about this drought after this weekend. Obviously, a lot of the team members here feel like he is the favorite going into this weekend. So.
Just because they're talking with you, they'll probably go 1, 2, 3, 4 now, you know. But
if we don't have any other subjects, I guess we'll call it a night tonight. And we want to thank our fans for listening. Once again, we'll be back on the air next Thursday night for another episode of Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. I want to thank y'all for listening here tonight. Make sure that you share around the live feed. And hopefully next time we'll have our guests that we had scheduled to come on.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I apologize that, again, Justin, I don't know what happened. But I want to thank Cliff for coming on with us and talking about this. Real quick, what he does for a day job, Chris, is he works on buses for the school district. So
wow,
that's what he does during... That's what he does during the day, and then he goes home at night and turns wrenches on his race car. So it's like he never leaves work. But want to thank you guys for tuning in. It has been a blast. We're going to replay this Friday, and I believe it the rebroadcast is going to be at noon. So want to give a shout out this weekend. We have got here what I've got on my agenda this weekend. Is Saturday, I think we're going to go to a play done at our local high school here in Mayfield, New York. And then Sunday, I'm going to be DJing and MCing a benefit for a guest that we had on early in the season, Michael Jackson and Team 1H Schaefer Racing. Their annual bowling banquet is this Sunday, and it's always a great time. I last 3 years, I've given away a three-hour house party. I'm going to do that again this year, along with some hoodies, and I do know that More Two Music is going to be represented as a team. So I'm excited about that. This is going to be the first time that my son is going to captain a team at this benefit. But that's what we've got on the schedule for this weekend, and then next weekend we've got a whole bunch of stuff on the schedule, and we'll talk about that next week. But be sure to give us a like on Facebook, Race Chat Live. Find us on Facebook. If you like the show, great. Write us a review. If you don't like the show, great. Email us and tell us what we can do better. Or if you've got a special driver that you'd like us to speak with, well, by all means, send us an email at racechatlive@gmail.com. And we'll reach out to that driver. We'll schedule to get him or her on, whether it's a driver, crew chief, wife of a racer. It doesn't matter. We'll get them on. And for your listening enjoyment and our knowledge. Chris, what do you got going on? I know Why Not's this weekend.
Yeah, Why Not Motorsports Park this Saturday night at the super late models, 800 horsepower ground pound, and stars of the cars. They'll be representing at the House of Hook this weekend, Saturday night. Also, guys, it's the beginning of F1 race season. Stay up late on Saturday night after the motocross if you're not supporting your local dirt track. And tune in to the Formula One race. It'll be on ESPN2. It's the Melbourne Grand Prix Circuit Race, the beginning of Formula One. And Lewis Hamilton looks to be the favorite this year in the Formula One race series. So really looking forward to having my son on to tell us about some F1 racing. I have assigned him to be a correspondent for the F1 racing, and so we'll debut him probably next week for about a five-minute segment there. And let him come on and tell us about the results at the F1 race. So really looking forward to our shows here in the future. And episode number 10 is good as gone. Man, appreciate all y'all.
All right. Remember, be good to one another.
That's right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Da 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 da.